All right, hey everyone, and welcome back. Ready for another deep dive? Today we're going to be tackling U.S. politics.
Oh, yeah.
And let me tell you, buckle up, it's a wild ride. We're talking court cases, power shifts, you know, the usual suspects. Trump and Musk, of course,
always
making headlines.
Stirring things up as always.
Exactly. And we've got a ton of material to sort through. News articles, court documents, some pretty in-depth political analysis. It's like almost a political thriller, you know? But don't worry, we're going to synthesize all of it for you. You get the insights without having to wade through all the noise.
Well, and the thing is, these stories, they might seem separate at first glance, right?
Right.
But when you look closer, they're all kind of tangled up together.
Yeah.
And they paint this bigger picture, you know, about who really has power in this country, how they're using it, and what all that means for, well, for the future of American democracy. It's a pretty big deal.
Absolutely. It's like watching a political thriller unfold in real time.
Totally.
Speaking of thrillers, let's start with the Eric Adams case in New York City.
Oh, that's a good one.
This one's got more twists and turns than, I don't know, like a House of Cards episode or something.
Right. So you've got the deputy attorney general
trying
to, well, temporarily drop charges against Mayor Adams.
Yeah, I was reading about that.
But it's not as straightforward as it sounds.
No, not at all. I mean, it's tied to that whole controversial immigration roundup policy, right?
Exactly. The deputy AG wants Adams to help with those roundups.
In exchange for dropping the charges.
Yeah, which is already kind of unusual. But then it gets even weirder because
oh, tell me.
Both the prosecution and the defense, they're both actually arguing for dismissal.
Really?
Yeah, it's a very strange situation.
Wow.
It makes you wonder if there's some political maneuvering going on behind the scenes, you know, influencing these legal decisions.
I'm still wrapping my head around that one. I mean, it's not every day you see both sides pushing for the same outcome, especially in a case like this. And then you've got Judge Dale Ho in the middle of it all.
Oh, yeah, Judge Ho. He's not rushing into anything.
No, he's really taking his time, considering all the angles.
Which is important, right? Because his decision could set a precedent.
Definitely.
Not just legally, but politically, too. And this whole thing, it's putting a lot of pressure on Governor Hochul.
Oh, absolutely. She's facing calls to fire Adams.
Mm-hmm.
But she's waiting for the judge's ruling before she makes a move.
Yeah, it's a real political hot potato.
Total hot potato. And think about it. If Judge Ho rules against the dismissal.
Oh, that would be interesting.
It could put Hochul in a tough spot. Like she might be forced to take action against Adams. And that could jeopardize her own political future, especially with the, you know, the next gubernatorial race coming up.
Yeah, 2026 isn't that far away.
Right. So this local case, I mean, it could have ripple effects across the entire state. And then, you know, who knows, maybe even beyond New York.
Absolutely. It shows how these seemingly isolated events can have, you know, far-reaching consequences.
Yeah.
Speaking of reaching far, let's switch gears a bit. Let's talk about Project 2025. Are you familiar with this?
Yeah, I've been hearing about it. It's a conservative blueprint, right?
Yeah, a blueprint, a plan, a roadmap, however you want to call it. And let me tell you, it's pretty ambitious.
Oh, yeah.
It aims to, well, fundamentally reshape the U.S. government as we know it.
Wow. And what's striking to me is how many of Trump's early actions seem to align with it. It's like, is this just a coincidence or is something else going on?
That's the question, isn't it? I mean, the level of alignment is pretty remarkable, almost like flipping a coin 37 times and getting heads every time.
That's a lot of heads.
We're talking overlaps in social issues, immigration policies, government staffing, the economy, foreign policy. I mean, it's almost every major area you can think of.
So it makes you wonder, right, is Project 2025 serving as a roadmap for the Trump administration?
It's a crucial question, purely coincidental, or a deliberate strategy. You know, if it's the latter, it raises some concerns about the influence of this pre-existing plan and what it might mean for the direction of the country. I mean, some of the core goals of Project 2025, they're pretty controversial, especially those related to social issues and the role of government.
I can see that.
It's a vision that, well, a lot of people would find alarming, to say the least. And to see it potentially being implemented, it raises a lot of questions about the future of American society.
Definitely food for thought. We've talked about Trump, but what about the other big player in this political drama? Elon Musk.
Oh, can't forget about Elon.
He's gone from, you know, tech CEO to something, I don't know, almost like a co-president with Trump.
It's interesting, isn't it, how he's become so involved in politics. It really blurs the lines between, you know, the tech world and the political sphere.
Big time. And he's not just, you know, tweeting opinions anymore.
No, not at all.
He's putting forward actual proposals, using his influence to try and, like, actually impact policy.
He's a force to be reckoned with.
And one of his latest proposals, well, let's just say it's gotten people talking.
What's he up to now?
He wants to send every taxpayer a check. Like, literally send everyone money.
Wow. Okay. On the surface, that sounds pretty appealing.
Yeah. Who wouldn't want some extra cash?
Right. But, you know, the devil's in the details.
Always.
Because how does he plan to fund this? Budget cuts.
Oh, okay. So that's where it gets tricky.
Exactly. Where would those cuts come from? What impact would they have on, you know, essential government programs and services? It's a classic case of a move that might be popular, but maybe not the most responsible.
Like that saying, there's no such thing as a free lunch.
Exactly. Someone always has to foot the bill.
Right. And in this case, it could mean cuts to programs that a lot of people rely on, not to mention, you know, we'd need congressional approval.
Oh, good luck with that.
I can't imagine budget hawks would be too happy about this whole thing.
There would definitely be pushback. Concerned about the deficit, you know, the whole nine yards.
So it's a balancing act, right? Appealing to voters, but also governing responsibly.
Absolutely. A delicate dance.
Speaking of which, this kind of leads us to Musk's, well, his growing political ambitions. It's not just policy proposals anymore. He's getting involved in specific elections.
Like the Wisconsin Supreme Court race?
Exactly. That one's getting a lot of attention. And not just in Wisconsin, right?
No, it's a national story. Because the outcome could have a big impact on, well, some major issues. Abortion, unions, voting rights. It could set precedents that, you know, have ripple effects across the country.
And Musk is really going for it, backing the conservative candidate, Brad Schimmel. I mean, he's already donated, like, $1.5 million.
Wow.
It's a big statement.
Yeah, he's not mentoring around. It's a bold move, for sure. And it's already attracting attention, you know, from both sides.
I bet.
And, you know, if more liberal donors start supporting Schimmel's opponent, well, I wouldn't be surprised if Musk upped the ante even more.
Things could get very interesting.
This race could become a real proxy war,
mm.
with a lot riding on the outcome.
It feels like politics is just constantly in upheaval these days. It's like, just when you think things can't get any crazier, something else happens.
Oh, yeah. Always another twist.
And speaking of things getting crazy, Musk isn't just facing pushback here in the U.S. It's going international.
Oh, that's right. You know, with his ties to Trump and his growing role in U.S. politics,
yeah.
he's become a bit of a target for countries who, well, maybe want to exert some pressure on the Trump administration.
It's almost like they're using Musk's companies as leverage.
Right, like a pawn in this geopolitical chess game.
Yeah, exactly. And we're already seeing signs of this, you know. China could potentially slow down those approvals for Tesla's self-driving cars.
I heard about that.
And then there's Canada talking about tariffs on imported Teslas.
And it's not just talk. I mean, Ontario actually canceled its contract with Starlink.
Wow.
It shows how interconnected everything is. Global politics, economics, all of it.
It's all tangled up.
And Musk's companies, they're caught in the crossfire.
Right. So how does he navigate this? It's like he's walking a tightrope, right?
Exactly. Balancing those business interests with his political alliances.
One wrong step, and there could be big consequences, both for his companies and his relationship with Trump.
High stakes, for sure. Makes you wonder, will this international backlash make him rethink his alliance with Trump? Or will he just double down? Only time will tell.
It's a fascinating story to watch unfold, that's for sure. And just when you thought things couldn't get any more complex, Musk is also facing criticism from within Trump's own camp.
Yeah, things are getting messy.
It's like, even within Trump's own circle, there are these cracks starting to show.
We're seeing this play out in the very public feud between Musk and Steve Bannon.
Oh yeah, Bannon. He's a big name in the MAGA movement.
And he's been going after Musk pretty hard, accusing him of being, you know, an elite, an illegal immigrant, using those terms to discredit him.
He didn't hold back at all. Called Musk a parasite, accused him of trying to impose a freak experiment on the country. Strong words.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking to hear that kind of language directed at, well, someone who's supposed to be an ally.
Makes you wonder, right? What's really going on here?
It's a clear sign of tension within the conservative coalition. I mean, Bannon's rhetoric, it really reveals this deep-seated resentment towards anyone perceived as elite, even if they agree with Trump on certain issues.
It's like this internal struggle almost. And it makes you think, could this actually weaken Trump's base of support? If his own allies are turning against each other.
It's definitely a possibility. You know, it creates an opening maybe for his opponents to exploit. Because political alliances, they're often fragile, especially when they're based on, you know, personalities rather than actual shared principles.
Right. It all comes back to that.
And this whole Bannon Musk thing, it's a symptom of a larger battle within the conservative movement.
Yeah. It's something to keep an eye on, for sure. It could have a big impact on, you know, how things play out with Trump's agenda.
Definitely something to watch.
It seems like we're in this constant state of political upheaval.
It's a roller coaster.
And just when you think things can't get any more unpredictable, damn, something else happens. Like, take Trump's latest move. He signed an executive order that basically gives him direct control over independent agencies. You know, the FDA, FCC, SEC, those kinds of places.
Oh, wow.
Big power move.
That's a major development. I mean, it raises some serious concerns about, you know, the balance of power in our government. These agencies, they've always operated with a certain degree of independence.
Right. They're supposed to be independent.
Free from, you know, direct presidential control.
Right.
But this executive order, it changes all that. It concentrates more power in the hands of the president.
It's a big shift, and it's hard not to think about the potential consequences. I mean, what if the FDA starts approving drugs based on, you know, political pressure rather than scientific evidence? Or the FCC starts punishing media outlets that criticize Trump?
Those are some serious risks.
Scary stuff.
If these agencies become, you know, tools of the president rather than independent watchdogs,
yeah,
it could really erode public trust. And it undermines those checks and balances that, well, that are so important to a functioning democracy.
Chilling thought. Makes you wonder how Congress is going to respond to this. Will they step up, assert their oversight role, or will they just, you know, go along with it?
It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. And we're already seeing, you know, a very clear difference in the reactions from Republicans and Democrats.
Oh, yeah.
Many Republicans seem to be, well, accepting of this power grab.
Mm.
But the Democrats, they're scrambling for ways to fight back. It's that classic partisan divide.
Right. But the stakes are high this time.
Incredibly high.
It's like we're watching this political thriller unfold in real time. Power struggles, backroom deals, and just a whole lot of uncertainty about the future.
It's a wild ride.
That's for sure. It's crucial to stay informed, keep up with everything that's happening.
Absolutely. Because what's happening now, it's going to have a lasting impact on the future of our country.
Well said. We'll be right back after a quick break to delve even deeper into this wild world of U.S. politics. We're back. And, you know, we were talking about the reactions to Trump's power grab, that executive order.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how different the Republicans and Democrats are responding, like they're on completely different planets.
Yeah, the divide is really stark. It just shows how polarized things are in American politics right now.
It's crazy, right?
I mean, on one side, you have a lot of Republicans who seem totally fine with Trump consolidating power.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side, you have Democrats desperately trying to figure out, like, how do we fight back? What can we do?
Yeah, what can we do?
And one of the most surprising reactions, I gotta say, came from Senator Chuck Grassley, the Republican senator.
What did he say?
He actually said that Congress is powerless to stop Trump and Musk.
Really? That's coming from a seasoned senator.
Yeah, someone who's been around the block a few times.
Right.
It's a pretty wild statement, especially coming from someone with his understanding of the Constitution.
So what does that even mean?
It's a head scratcher, right? Because Senator Grassley knows Congress has tools to check the president's power.
Like what kind of tools?
Well, things like impeachment, you know, or controlling the budget. His statement makes it sound like, well, maybe he's resigned to it, or maybe he just doesn't want to challenge Trump directly.
Maybe he's picking his battles.
Yeah, perhaps. But it raises concerns, you know, about whether Congress is really willing to do its job, you know, to be that check on the executive branch that they're supposed to be.
Yeah, it's their constitutional duty.
Right, exactly.
So if Congress isn't going to act, what are the Democrats supposed to do? I mean, they're facing a real uphill battle here.
It's tough, for sure. With limited power in Congress, it seems like their strategy is focusing more on public relations.
PR.
Yeah, they're trying to get the message out there, highlighting the negative impact of Trump's policies, you know, especially on everyday Americans.
Okay, so appealing to the public.
Exactly. Hoping that will turn public opinion against Trump,
mm-hmm,
and maybe put pressure on some of those vulnerable Republicans who are up for re-election.
So the idea is to make it politically costly for those Republicans to support Trump.
Exactly. It's like a classic David versus Goliath situation.
I like that analogy.
They're trying to use what little power they have to expose what's really going on with Trump's agenda.
So how are they doing that?
Well, one tactic is focusing on the potential cuts to programs like Medicaid.
Ah, healthcare. That's always a big one.
It's a big issue for a lot of people, especially those who rely on those programs.
So the Democrats are saying, hey, these cuts are going to hurt everyday people.
Exactly. They're trying to frame the issue as, you know, taking healthcare away from those who need it most, like poor children, to pay for tax cuts for the wealthy.
I see. That's a powerful message.
It's a strong narrative, one that could resonate with voters.
Yeah, it could make people think twice about who they support.
For sure. And it's a reminder that even when it seems like one party has all the power,
yeah,
there are still ways to push back, to hold them accountable.
It's not a hopeless situation.
It takes strategy, good communication, and getting people on your side.
All right, so we've talked about the political landscape, but let's switch gears for a minute, because there's this whole other battle brewing over one of the most influential media outlets in the country, Fox News.
Oh, yeah, Fox News. That's a big one.
I mean, this goes way beyond just a business dispute.
It's about family, legacy, power.
Control over a media empire, basically.
Exactly. And the power to shape public opinion, which is huge.
So what's the issue with Fox News?
Well, it all comes down to the Murdoch Family Trust, which was set up to give control of Fox to Rupert Murdoch's children after he passes away.
Okay, so a family affair.
Very much so. But here's the thing. Murdoch wants to make sure that Fox News stays true to his conservative vision, even after he's gone.
He doesn't trust his kids to keep it conservative.
Well, some of his children have more liberal views, you know, and he's worried they might try to change Fox's content.
So he's trying to control things from beyond the grave.
You could say that it's this clash between, you know, a founder wanting to preserve his legacy and the next generation having their own ideas.
Sounds like a recipe for drama.
And the future of Fox News hangs in the balance, which could have a big impact on the political landscape.
So what did Murdoch do?
Well, he actually tried to take away voting rights from three of his children.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, to make sure that his chosen successor would take happen.
So what happened?
Well, a judge in Nevada ruled against him,
Ah, interesting.
which means that if Murdoch dies before 2030, when the trust dissolves, his children could gain control and maybe change the direction of Fox News.
Wow, that's a big if.
It is, but it's a real possibility. Can you imagine Fox News, you know, the bastion of conservative media, suddenly becoming more moderate or even liberal?
That would be a huge
It
shift.
would be a seismic shift in the media landscape.
And it shows that even these giant media empires, they're not immune to change.
Right, they're subject to family dynamics, social trends, legal challenges.
It's unpredictable, just like everything else in politics these days.
Exactly. The future of Fox News, it's very uncertain, just like everything else we've been talking about.
It's a lot to keep track of.
We've covered a lot today, from court cases to power struggles, media shakeups. It seems like we're living in a constant state of upheaval.
And uncertainty.
Yeah, for sure. Traditional norms, institutions are all being challenged.
And new power dynamics are emerging.
It's crucial to stay informed and engaged.
Because the choices we make now will have a big impact on the future.
Absolutely. It's a time of uncertainty, but also a time of opportunity.
So, what do you think is the most significant development in all of this? What should our listeners really be paying attention to?
You know, it's hard to pick just one thing. I'd say it's the combination of all these factors happening at once.
What do you mean?
We're seeing this erosion of democratic norms, power getting concentrated in the hands of a few people, misinformation spreading like wildfire, and society becoming more and more
Like a
polarized.
perfect storm.
It is. And these trends, they're all connected. They feed off each
Could
other.
be this really dangerous situation.
That threatens the very foundation of our democracy. We have to recognize this and work together to find solutions.
It's easy to get overwhelmed by all the news and everything happening, though we can't tune it out.
No, we have to stay informed, think critically about what we're seeing and hearing, and talk about it with each other,
Have those difficult conversations.
even with people who disagree with us.
It's the only way forward.
I completely agree. We need active citizens who are informed and engaged.
It's more important now than ever.
Couldn't agree more. It's about shaping the direction of our country together.
So as we wrap up this part of our deep dive, what's one question you think our listeners should be asking themselves?
That's a good one. I think a crucial question is, in this world where we have so much information, but it's hard to know what to trust,
Right, information overload.
how do we figure out what's true and what's not? How do we make good decisions about the things that matter most?
Tough question.
It requires critical thinking, understanding how the media works, and being willing to listen to people who have different viewpoints.
Yeah, being open to different perspectives. We
Exactly.
can't just believe everything we see on the internet or hear from, certain sources.
Right, we have to question things, look for bias, and really think for
It's
ourselves.
about becoming informed and engaged citizens.
Exactly, citizens who can contribute to a strong and healthy democracy.
All right, well, I think that's a great place to pause for now. We'll be back in just a bit to wrap up our deep dive into U.S. politics with some final thoughts and takeaways. Okay, we're back, ready to wrap up this wild deep dive into U.S. politics.
It's been quite a journey, hasn't it? Lots of twists and turns.
Definitely. I feel like we've covered a whole year's worth of news in just one episode.
Well, that's politics for you, right? Always moving, always changing.
So let's try to break it all down. If we had to sum up everything we talked about, what are the key takeaways? What should our listeners really remember from this?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway is we're at a real crossroads right now.
Okay, I like that.
You know, those traditional checks and balances, they're being tested.
Yeah.
Technology is changing how politics works, and even what it means to be American, that's up for debate.
Big questions.
We need to understand these challenges and, you know, really talk about them, figure out how to move forward.
And it's not enough to just like skim the headlines, right?
No, not at
We
all.
got to go deeper, really understand the issues, think critically about what we're reading and hearing.
I couldn't agree more.
And we're not just, spectators in all of this.
No
We
way.
have a voice. We can make a difference. Whether it's voting, speaking out of the things we care about, even just having, those conversations with our friends and family.
Those conversations matter.
So any final thoughts? What's like one question that our listeners should be thinking about after this?
You know, in this world where we're bombarded with information all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's hard to know what's true and what's not. How do we figure that out? How do we make good decisions when it's all so confusing?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It really is. It takes critical thinking, understanding how the media works.
And being open to different viewpoints, right?
Exactly. We can't just accept everything we see or hear.
Got to be skeptical. Got to ask questions.
Exactly. Look for bias. Think for ourselves. That's how we become informed and engaged citizens.
Who can contribute to a healthy and functioning democracy?
Well said.
Well, I think we've given everyone a lot to think about today. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into U.S. politics.
It's been my pleasure. And remember, stay curious, stay informed, stay engaged.
We'll see you next time.